Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, and my name is Bob. And I'm reading today from the June 2022 issue of the Voice of the Martyrs newsletter magazine, and a very current example of how God's people do many exploits for God and sometimes get in trouble over it, and in this case, serious trouble. We started a story last week about John Chow. The name of it is Who Will Take My Place? He's going to Sentinel Island, John Chow is, and that is, in case you don't know, a little speck, as they call it in the story, a tiny speck in the Bay of Bengal between India and Southeast Asia, North Sentinel Island. Nobody's ever heard of it, but he heard of it, learned about it, and had decided, as a young person, I'm going there. Going to tell these people about Jesus. That was the plan of his life. He said in November 16 of 2018, "You guys might think I'm crazy and all this, but I think it's worth it to declare Jesus to these people." Well, it's worth it to declare Jesus to any people, but this was his heart. This is what he was going to do. And he's on his way there. And that's where we had to stop last time. Let's finish the story now. Let's see what happens to John. In case the world did hear John's name, and he didn't care about that. He had done his best to protect Christian friends in the islands and make sure any publicity would not hinder further efforts to reach the Sentinelese with the gospel. To that end, he crafted an online presence that might explain his disappearance as merely a lone adventurer lost at sea. His Instagram feed is filled with adventure images from far-off places. He blogged about traveling the world, climbing, kayaking, and diving with great white sharks. His adventures were even sponsored by a beef jerky company. If John's name became known, anyone searching the images and blog posts would simply think he was an adventurous bro who stepped too far off the beaten path and paid with his life. He never underestimated the potential danger of his mission, but he valued the souls of the Sentinelese people more than his safety. He valued obedience to Christ over even his own life. And after John's death, a friend posted some thoughts that John had shared before his trip. "Death is inevitable," John had said. "I could die in a car crash, from snake bite, from cancers. There are many ways we can die. I'm going to the island this November, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready. I'm ready to lay my life down for the gospel." John left a will and talked with friends about how to move forward if he were killed. He even encouraged his family to have a memorial service at ORU and to ask the university to host it for free. "If you do a memorial service," he wrote more seriously to his family, "let them know that I was obedient to what God called me to do, to reach those who have not heard the gospel." In August 2018, the Indian government removed the requirement that had been in place since 1963 that foreigners visiting 29 of the Andaman and Nicobar Islands first apply for and receive a restricted area permit. Media reports listed islands that no longer required a permit to visit, including North Sentinel Island. The change was designed to promote tourism, but also eliminated one obstacle to John's mission. As the time approached for John's trip to the island, Mary Ho received a four-word email from another member of the All Nations executive team. "Mary, are you sure?" That was the email. Her response was equally to the point from Romans 10:14. How are they to hear without someone preaching? John spoke with only a few close friends in the days before he left, staying inside during the day to draw as little attention to himself as possible. Even as he considered final decisions and details, his friends saw a man fully living out his gifts. John took leadership in times of worship and discussion, and on one of the final nights before his departure, he led a communion service. The behind-the-scenes servant, who sometimes got tongue-tied leading a devotional, was now boldly leading worship and prayer and communion. "I can't wait," he said at one point, "to introduce you to my friends, the North Sentinelese." On the afternoon of November 14, before boarding a fishing boat and heading toward the island, John wrote this prayer in his journal. "Thank you, Father, for using me, for shaping me and molding me to be your ambassador. Holy Spirit, please open the hearts of the tribe to receive me, and by receiving me, to receive you. May your kingdom, your rule and reign come now to North Sentinel Island. My life is in your hands, O Father, and so into your hands I commit my spirit." The next morning, before dawn, John went ashore and buried 2 cases of supplies for his stay on the island. And later that morning, he kayaked along the shore, hoping to show his good intentions by delivering fish and other gifts to the islanders. "My name is John," he called out. "I love you, and Jesus loves you." The first islanders to appear carried their bows with unstrung arrows. Later, when they strung arrows in their bows, John paddled out of range and back to the boat. He approached again that afternoon, delivering more gifts and getting close to an islander before a young Sentinelese launched an arrow that lodged firmly in the waterproof Bible he was carrying. The tip of the arrow stopped on a page that ended with the first 2 verses of Isaiah 65 that says, "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices." On that second contact attempt, John got out of his kayak, hoping to appear less threatening. But when islanders, one with a bamboo knife, got between him and the kayak, he had to leave it behind, with his U.S. passport inside, and swim back to the boat. After that eventful day, he poured out his heart in the pages of his journal, which the fisherman later delivered to Christian friends. And now I read to you from the journal. "The plan now is to rest and sleep on the boat, and in the morning to drop me off by the cache, and then I walk along the beach toward the same hut I've been giving gifts to. It's weird. Actually, no, it's natural. I'm scared." There, I said it. "Also frustrated and uncertain. Is it worth me going on foot to meet them? Now they have attached me to the gifts. Well, Lord, yet you will be close. If you want me to get actually shot or even killed with an arrow, then so be it. I think I could be more useful alive, though. But to you, God, I give all the glory of whatever happens. I don't want to die. Would it be wiser to leave and let someone else continue? No, I don't think so. I'm stuck here anyway without a passport and having been off the grid. I still could make it back to the U.S. somehow, as it almost seems like certain death to stay here. Yet there is evidence change in just 2 encounters in a single day. I'll try again tomorrow." John's journal also includes sociological and linguistic notes. He tried to learn as much as he could from each encounter with the Sentinelese. And later that evening, John added another entry, and I quote, "Watching the sunset, oh, it's beautiful. Crying a bit, wondering if it'll be the last sunset I see before being in the place where the sun never sets. Tearing up a little. God, I don't want to die. Who will take my place if I do? Why did a little kid have to shoot me today? His high-pitched voice still lingers in my head. Father, forgive him and any of the people on this island who try to kill me, especially forgive them if they succeed. Lord, strengthen me as I need your strength and protection and guidance and all that you give and are. Whoever comes after me to take my place, whether it's after tomorrow or another time, please give them a double anointing and bless them mightily. According to his notes, John planned for the fishermen to drop him ashore the next morning. He would then approach the tribesmen on foot, and the fishermen would pull back until the following day. John hoped he would seem less threatening without the boat waiting offshore, and he also hoped to protect the fishermen. If it goes badly on foot, the fishermen won't have to bear witness to my death, he wrote. John closed most of his journal entries as well as letters to friends and families with the Latin phrase, Soli Deo Gloria, that is, glory to God alone. On November 16, 2018, John went ashore on North Sentinel Island for the last time. When the fishermen returned the next day, according to the police report, they saw a dead person being buried at the shore, which, from the silhouette of the body, clothing, and circumstances, appeared to be the body of John Allen Chow. Nothing is known about what happened between John's arrival on the beach and his death. The young man, who would later be ridiculed as a colonizer, had approached the Sentinelese without a weapon, even after being shot at, clearly willing to give up his own life. John's body was never recovered. He had requested that if killed, his body be left on the island. Following his death, a storm of vitriol was unleashed on John, his family, All Nations organization, and at times anyone who would dare to think of sharing the gospel with another human being. The fishermen who took John to the island were arrested, as were other Christians who had spoken with John in the Andaman Islands. Their trial began in November 2021. The story of John the Adventure Bro quickly turned to John the misguided missionary, the colonizer, the thoughtless disease spreader. The mocking memes on social media and criticism in a variety of media came in waves. Some comedians even used the story of John's murder in their acts. More concerning was the criticism from Christians who attacked John's perceived lack of preparation and insensitivity to the culture. Some even questioned whether the Great Commission might be outdated in 2018. Perhaps, they posed, it doesn't apply to tribes that have no contact with the outside world. I would say for me, the only ongoing pain that I have about John's mission and death is actually how Christianity as a whole treated John so poorly after he was so willing to give his life for Jesus. That's from Pam Arland of All Nations. He was willing to give his life for a people group that he never actually got a chance to meet. I wish that, I will call it Christendom, would have been kinder to him. Well, I believe that the measure of success in the kingdom of God is obedience, John said a few months before his death. I want my life to reflect obedience to Christ and to live in obedience to him. I think that Jesus is worth it. He's worth everything. The final pages of John's journal, which he left with the fishermen before being dropped off the last time, are notes to his family and a friend. The notes, like others written to friends in John's last week, included a challenge for them to remain faithful to Christ. I pray you will never love anything in this world more than you love Christ, he said. John lived up to that challenge, loving Jesus Christ so much that he was willing to swim ashore that final time. His sacrifice, however, isn't unique. John followed in the footsteps of faithful Christians throughout history, beginning with the martyrdom of all but one of the original 12 apostles. In the 1800s, only one in four missionaries survived his or her first term in the Congo. In 1886, Robert Thomas died on a riverbank outside Pyongyang while trying to take the gospel to Korea. Five men were speared to death in 1956 while trying to share the love of Christ with Oka, now called Hurani. Tribesmen. A willingness to die trying has always been a requirement for taking the gospel to places it's never been heard. The end of John's life on earth should not be viewed as the end of the whole story. We know how that story ends. In one of John's last journal entries, he wrote, "The eternal lives of this tribe are at hand, and I can't wait to see them around the throne of God, worshiping in their own language," as Revelation 7 states. Every tribe, every people, every language, worshiping King Jesus together. John longed for the day when he could introduce his Sentinelese brothers and sisters to other members of the body of Christ. Whoever goes next, whoever is willing to risk his or her life to see John's hope realized, should know that John has prayed for them. "Whoever comes after me," he wrote in a prayer on the last evening of his life, "whether it's after tomorrow or another time, give them that double anointing and bless them mightily." Perhaps in eternity we will see John standing among some Sentinelese gathered around the throne, crying out in a loud voice with them, "Salvation belongs to our God." Those who knew John well on earth will expect a toothy grin on his face, a twinkle in his eye, and a thumb raised in his trademark, "It's all good," gesture. Soli Deo Gloria, John Chow. And now you know the rest of the story, amen. Well, if you'd like to follow up and somehow be a blessing to persecuted Christians around the earth and be a part of martyrdom blessing, as the Voice of the Martyrs always is, just contact the folks at VOM. That's thevoice@vom.org, thevoice@vom.org. Just ask them to be put on the mailing list. You'll receive a copy of this kind of a magazine every month, free of charge, no obligation. Yes, they will ask for offerings, of course, but you don't have to give them. It's just between you and the Lord. And this magazine is truly a blessing. You'll see when it comes to you every month, you'll see. Well, that's all for this time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.